All right, as we're wrapping this up, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. I think we can see that prayer is important. Prayer is a great comfort to us as we come to the throne of God. And we have a tremendous privilege to be able to have the avenue where we can talk to God directly through prayer because of the person of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. Follow along as I read Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16, I'll be zeroing in on, especially on verse 16. We're going to keep things very simple today. I want you to leave here with a greater appreciation for prayer and the privilege that we have to talk to the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, follow along as I read. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession or profession, for we do not have an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Let's read it in this way. For we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Last week we talked about the Word of God and its importance. This week we're talking about prayer. Two of the most important disciplines in the Christian life, I believe, are reading the Word of God, living out the Word of God, and praying. But I come before you this morning as a fellow struggler in this area of prayer. I'm convinced it's important, and I'm sure you're aware of that as well. I know it's a sign of my dependence upon God, and yet I still struggle with consistency in this area. And so I just want to bring before you several dangers as we think about prayer, and then we'll go into the privilege of prayer with 3 points there for our message today. I believe some of the dangers that we need to watch out for, first of all, is the danger of taking prayer for granted. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's available to us, but we often do not take advantage of it. I believe there's the danger of approaching prayer as just a matter of duty instead of a privilege. Sometimes we can approach it as if it's drudgery. Okay, I've got to do it because Pastor Mark told me to. But we ought to look at it as a tremendous opportunity for us to talk to the Lord. I believe there's a danger of approaching it thinking that we can pray when our heart is not right at all, when we're living in sin or we have unconfessed sin in our life. There's the danger of praying with selfish motives, like we have a genie in a bottle. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I demand this. God, here's what I want. There's the danger of praying with an unforgiving spirit. There's the danger of praying to impress people. This was the problem with the Pharisees. They wanted to be seen because of their religion. There's a danger of demanding answers from God in accordance with our will, on our timetable, and in the way we want it done. I've seen that today. In fact, there's all kinds of strategies out there, and you need to be very careful of books that are being written today about the fact that we can go to God and you have this special formula that you can use, and you can demand God to do it, and He's obligated to go based on your prayers. That is very dangerous. We need to come humbly before God and ask that His will be done. And then there's the danger of just not praying because we're too busy, or we feel it is unimportant. Someone has said that prayer is our supply line to God in the battle. And the enemy will do everything within his power to sever that supply line. When we suffer, the enemy whispers, God doesn't care about you. God is not answering. Why waste your time? It's easy to get discouraged and to quit praying. But that cuts off the very lifeline that we need. So this morning, I want to start first with point number one, the invitation to pray. I want to encourage you this morning. We are invited to pray. In the text before us, in verse 16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." Do you realize how different that is from the Old Testament worship? We ought to rejoice that we have the privilege to draw near to our God. Think with me for a moment of Old Testament worship. In a sense, it said, stay away. The high priest was the one that went on the Day of Atonement and went into the very presence of God inside the Holy of Holies. And there he put blood on the altar, and the altar represented the presence of God. But it was the high priest that would go and represent the people. No one else was allowed to come near. In the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, Moses went up to the top of the mountain, but everyone was instructed, do not come near to the mountain. If you do, you will die. Animals or mankind, if you touch the mountain, you will die. In fact, in Exodus 19:12, we read, and you shall set bounds for the people all around the mountain, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. And how wonderful, when Christ died, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that the barrier had been removed between God and man. And now we can come near. Folks, that is a tremendous privilege. Amen? To come near. Yesterday, I was Skyping with my oldest son, Josh, and Chelsea, and Naomi, and little Jonah. And we had a little good time. But as a part of this Skype, which is really amazing, didn't have that when I was a kid. And it's nice that to talk to, especially to our two-year-old granddaughter. Now, again, we like Josh and Chelsea and all that stuff. But Naomi, the two-year-old, that's really what we Skype for, okay? And what's neat about this whole thing is that she loves to come right up to the computer screen, and she loves to do little funny faces with me. And I won't show you what I do, but we have fun, all right? But we get near, and I encourage you to come near, and we really enjoy that time together. And then as we close, she wants to get right up, and she's got to hug us and give us a kiss goodbye. So she comes really near to the screen. I imagine they have to wipe off the screen quite a bit. But it's really fun as she draws near. When I saw her at Christmas time, it was wonderful to be able to just hug her, hold her close. I wanted her to feel comfortable with Grandpa and to feel that she could come near. Well, our Heavenly Father has made a way for us to come near to His throne. In fact, I think it's interesting here as we read, draw near to the throne of grace. Throne, what's symbolic of a throne? Power and authority. But grace is the idea of unmerited favor. And so here we see, represented by the person of Christ, as He's interceding on our behalf, the throne of grace, we can come and we have His power, but we also have His grace available to us. Power and sympathy from the God-man, Christ. Come to me and you'll have sympathy, but you'll also have the power needed for what you have. We have special access to the throne. That's also a neat concept too, special access to the throne of grace. Back when Jason, our special needs boy, was 10 years of age, around there, he's now 26. But when he was about 10, Make-A-Wish Foundation sent our family to Disney World. And my wife's looking forward to going to Disneyland here in a couple weeks. But we had the opportunity of going alongside Jason when he was going through some of his roughest days, and we did not know if he would live much beyond that age. But we got special passes when we went to Disney World. We had special access to all the rides and all the events, and that was kind of cool. We were with Jason. In fact, our other boys were going, boy, thank you, Jason. We have special access to all these things. We get to get first in line, special treatment. Well, I can't help but think about that as we think about the matter of prayer. We have special access to the throne of God through prayer. Well, who can come? If we have special access, who is the us? When it says here before us, let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, who is the us that's being talked about that? I believe it's talking about believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's the ones in verse 14, it says, let us hold fast our confession or profession of faith. Those who have made a profession of faith in Christ are the ones who are encouraged to draw near. Not just anyone can come and ask and come and talk to Him and come and ask for direction in their life or ask to meet their needs. If someone doesn't know Jesus Christ, the prayer that they need to pray to God, the prayer that He will hear and answer is, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. That's the prayer that ought to be prayed by someone who does not know Christ as their Savior. Then they have direct access into His presence. How we should rejoice in that. Well, how do believers approach God? I think it's in this same sentence or same phrase. How should we approach Him? If that's our privilege, notice what it says, let us then with confidence. That means no reluctance. The freedom to speak what is on our hearts and minds. To come with no reservations, no hesitation to say what we need to say. Again, it's so different. I mean, think with me for a moment about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And if you read through in his life and as he is concerned about his people back that are the walls are broken down in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah needs to go in and talk to the king about taking a leave and going and helping his people. And he appeared sad in the presence of the king. Often, if you appeared sad in the presence of the king, your life could be taken. You needed to be under control. Also, I think about Esther. And I think about Esther as she came to the presence of the king. Usually, you had to be asked to come into the presence of the king. You were not just allowed to come uninvited. And again, in the Old Testament, the high priest was the one who went, and not everyone was allowed into his presence. How wonderful it is that we can come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we can come with confidence, without hesitation, knowing that if our hearts are right before Him, our sin is confessed, that we have direct access to Him, and He longs to hear what we have to say and the needs that are on our minds. Second, the motivation. We have the invitation. What is the motivation to pray? Notice what it says. Let us draw near to the throne of grace in order that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. The motivation is the fact that we have a sympathetic Savior who wants us to come and desires to give us mercy and grace and what we have need of. Notice what it says in verse 15. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, yet he was tempted in all ways, but without sin. So our motivation is that we have a Savior who understands. He has walked in our shoes. He faced the challenges and temptations of this life, but He was victorious, and He can help us to be victorious as well. Mercy speaks about the fact of withholding what I deserve, and grace speaks about the fact of giving me what I don't deserve. How we need God's mercy and grace as we approach the throne, that is our motivation to find that grace and mercy in Him. Third, the situation to pray. We find here at the end of verse 16, it tells us we are to approach Him with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help, notice, in time of need. This speaks to the matter of when should we pray? When we have need. Oh, we ought to pray and give thanks. We ought to pray and give praise. We ought to pray for others. But here, whenever we have need, we can have the privilege of coming to His presence. It implies that we are weak. It implies that we can't do it all on our own, that we are powerless, that we are helpless, and we need His aid. When is the time? When is the time that we should pray? At all times. Some commentaries actually translated this part in time of need in the nick of time. I'm not too sure, but it's interesting to think about. Or just when we need it, or it comes at the appropriate time. Pray whenever you have need. This last week, it was interesting, as this was kind of the week of hospitals. On Monday, it was Good Shepherd. Tuesday, Lutheran General. Wednesday, Rehab Center, Institute of Chicago. Thursday, it was St. Alexis and Hoffman Estates. And Friday, it was almost Sherman. I'm glad I didn't have to go to Sherman Hospital. But in each case, a different situation. Each case, a different need. But it was wonderful to be able to stand at the bedside of different ones and to even stand there as we were going through some very difficult things with Jason and determination of his medicines. It was nice to be able to offer up that prayer to God, praying for the knee replacement surgery that was ready to be had. Praying for Gina in the midst of the situation where it was a 50-50 chance that the baby would survive. How wonderful it was in that time of need to be able to cry out to our God for His help for the needy. How wonderful it was to be able to pray as I was sitting on my bed about to the point of weeping when I heard about little Julian Rosario on the way to the hospital. I didn't know if I would get that call any second about saying, "You got to get here." But I was praying all the way, "God, spare his life. God, raise him up. God, give wisdom to the doctors. Help them." And tomorrow I'm going to need your prayers as I stand at the gravesite there and talk about Jonah. But again, I'm so pleased that he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you don't know." When we don't know what to do, we are invited to call on our God. James 1 says, "When you lack wisdom, what are we to do? Ask of God, who gives generously." Matthew 6, "When we have need, we have a great God who is willing to provide for our needs." He gives help for the helpless. I guess I'm kind of sick of hearing the little statement these days, "God helps those who help themselves." Where do you find that in the Bible? You don't. It's not even inside the cover, and it's not outside the cover. It's nowhere to be found. God helps those who recognize their helplessness. What writer Philip Brooks said this, "If man is man and God is God, to live without prayer is not merely an awful thing, it's an infinitely foolish thing." Are you feeling helpless today? God's grace is available for those who recognize that they cannot help themselves. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. A preacher was delivering a sermon before a large congregation. He pointed out that believers aren't exempt from trouble. In fact, some Christians are surrounded by trouble. Trouble on the right, trouble on the left, trouble in the front, and trouble behind. At this, one of the men in the church stood up and said, "Glory to God, it's always open at the top. No matter what may be happening around us, there is always an invitation to come to God." What a tremendous privilege that is. Don't allow the trials of life keep you from drawing near. The trials show us more than ever before we need our God. God invites you to pray. Your family needs you to pray. Your community needs you to pray. And your church family needs you to pray. Prayer is a privilege that deserves to be exercised. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to handle our problems on our own. Thank you that you've made a way that we can come at any time. We never have to worry about a busy line. We never have to worry about you being off duty. You're always available and always willing and desiring to help us. Oh God, may our hearts be right before you. May we come with our sins confessed. May we come with your will in mind and not ours. May we submit to you. May we come humbly, recognizing that you don't always answer on our timetable, but you always answer on the best timetable. And thank you, Lord, for your provision. Meet our needs. Meet the needs of our church family as we walk through these struggles and trials together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.